This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and also by RobinsonTrainingSystems.com. On this edition of the FitCast, we have a mailbag question from a serious endurance athlete who also weight trains and has some questions about his nutrition and also supplementation. And also, we jump into a roundtable discussion all about getting introduced into the fitness industry, what you should be doing now to get ready for when you do enter the fitness industry. And that's all coming up on this edition of the FitCast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 66. My name's Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing, Kev. How are you? Just watching a little football and trying to relax on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to relax. Pretty much Jimmy and I are going to be the only ones here this week. Tony had a last-minute thing come up, and also Jen is on vacation. And Keith is just overall, he's wicked busy with, I mean, you know, he talked a little bit about it last week. He's all over the place right now, so it's totally understandable. Is that all right that I just say that some people are out? Jimmy, is that okay with
you? That works for me.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. But let's just jump right into it. We do have some pretty big news this week. First off, Anthony Roberts will be on the show next week, and Jimmy, just want to talk a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, because you're really stepping up to the plate here and being the forerunner of next week's show.
Who are you talking about?
Anthony,
I missed that.
Anthony Roberts.
Anthony Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming on the show next week. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about what he's going to talk about next week on the show. And also, everyone out there, send in your questions to questions@thefitcast.com. And also, I'll send out a newsletter. You can send in your questions for that, too.
Yeah, basically, Anthony Roberts, if everybody's not familiar with him, Anthony is used to write for T-Nation. He writes for Mesomorpheus.com and a couple other big websites. And Anthony's very much of the supplement and chemical side of the industry. So I think that's a good perspective that we need to get, because it's not all creatine and protein powder out there. I mean, as small of a community as this really is, you know, in terms of people listening to the show, there's still, you know, there's a lot of pro-hormone stuff out there. There's a lot of herbs and supplements that are, you know, reported to have testosterone, growth hormone, or any type of hormonal benefit. So Anthony's going to come on and talk a little bit about the ins and outs, the goods and bads of those products. So I think it'll be a good show. It'll be a different show. We kind of haven't covered that material yet, so it'll be the first time we've gone over it. So I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's definitely something different, something that we've never covered before. And I think it's much better for people out there to have the information than to just really not know what the hell they're doing if they go that route. So I'm really looking forward to having Anthony on. So again, send in your questions by either replying to the newsletter that I sent out on Monday, or you can just send them to questions@thefitcast.com and just put in like questions for Anthony Roberts in the subject line, so it's a little bit easier for me to organize all that stuff. Next up, I have had a couple questions about what I've been doing for my curriculum this year, and that's actually part of the mailbag questions that we have. But
are you getting the text messages I'm sending you?
No, I'm not.
All right, so pause the show.
Okay.
Basically, well, not only am I getting a message from the kid Ryan Patrick on Facebook just asking me all questions about like how I got into the industry, this and that, I also think with just me and you here, we shouldn't talk about the strength protocols. So maybe you want to keep this part that we're talking about right now for the end of the show, and we can talk about you know, getting into the industry and for the young trainers that want to get in and how our paths are different. Because, like, for example, you've been knowing you were getting into the industry. I didn't even, you know, my major was marketing. You know, my undergrad was marketing with a little exercise science. So, like, I think we should make that the roundtable for today, is how we both got in the industry, the recommendations, you know, making a name for yourself. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, that's great. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's cool, because I get emailed that a lot. So I would say with the part you just talked about, if you could cut that, put that back into the roundtable, maybe just go through all the other FitCast news and the updates now.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Hey, I'm going to take like another extra day to edit this anyways.
Yeah, all right.
All right, well, let's also talk about a new article that's up on T Nation this week. And I know people have really been talking about Waterbury has had, Chad Waterbury has had a series of articles that he's been really building up upon in the last almost 2 or 3 months right now. And he had really the first major one that's come out where he's actually gone into the meat of things. And it's called Maximum Recruitment Training. And everyone, I really think you should check it out. It's starting to, if you've been reading his past articles, it makes everything start to make sense. And he also talks about muscle fiber recruitment, and really why you should be not doing slow repetitions. You should actually be putting some speed behind those concentric movements. So make sure to check that out. And it's I think it's a good article. And also I think part two, I'm guessing, is going to be coming out next week. I'm guessing that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Next up, you might be listening to this show on Sunday, or it might be Monday. I might be having the shows come out on Monday instead of Sundays. And this is because I got an email from one of Keith's friends, actually, named David Poplar. And he said that he loved the show, but he had some suggestions for ways that I can actually improve the show. And these are things that I've seen with other podcasts, but I've actually been pretty lazy in terms of putting this together, because in terms of editing music in between each segment that we have. So right after the Fitcast news, you're going to hear music that brings us into the mailbag, and then from the mailbag into the roundtable, just to split things up a little bit. And also, before each show, well, you already heard it, but before each show, I'm actually going to do a complete rundown of everything we're going to talk about before the show even starts. I'm going to actually record that in post-production. So I hope you like that, and I hope you appreciate the extra effort that we'll be putting in next week. So without further ado, let's jump into the mailbag. For the mailbag this week, our first question, I probably should have wrote down who these were from, but I apologize. Don't know who it is because they sent me this email like 2 days ago. Hey, Kevin, the show is great, and I've been trying to make up ground on the earlier shows. I was wondering if you can talk about endurance training. For example, I'm a runner, usually running 8 to 12 miles on easy days and 2 speed workout days, intervals, lactic acid threshold runs, etc., and a long run between 18 and 20 miles. But I'm a strange runner. I also lift. Many runners cringe when they see dumbbells, but I lift every other day, and I'm using the new rules of lifting. So my question is, what should my diet look like, and would you recommend any supplements? Right now, I'm just taking whey. And really, Jimmy, I'm gonna throw this right off to you, because I know you have some history with clients like this.
Yeah, he's a typical endurance runner, aside from the fact that he actually trains with weights. But the whole thing that I'd be concerned about is he's probably training really – he's training a lot. He says he's doing, I think, 3 distance days and 3 speed days on top of his weight training. That might be something he might want to taper down, or at least taper his runs, each week individually. Don't do the same amount of miles. Get a gradual buildup. If he looks at it like a 4-week microcycle, he can go 1 week, say 2 miles, next week's 2.5, 3 miles, however he wants to do it. He can keep building it up, or he can go 2, 3, he could have his third week go down a little bit, 2.5, and then up to 4 for the final week. But that'd be my first recommendation. He asked about nutrition, so I'll kind of deal with that primarily. Whey's a good place to start. I would tell him to have extra BCAAs, extra branched chain amino acids, either in pill or powder form before he goes running, to kind of delay the fatigue. I tell him he can also have like a beta-alanine product, just to kind of give him that extra push. Creatine, again, a great product that's going to give him longer energy. Endurance runners don't look at creatine as an endurance supplement, but again, anything that makes our ATP last longer, is therefore going to break us into more of our it was going to take us longer to get into our anaerobic threshold, or into aerobic glycolysis and the such. So I'd first recommend those couple supplements for him. I'd also tell him to make sure he's really doing a ton of recovery work. If he wants to get into more recovery supplements, he can go to things like 5-HTP, L-tyrosine, things that kind of are central nervous systems, relaxers, glycine. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Well, hopefully that will help him out. And that's definitely kind of an interesting situation. I mean, I see a lot of our cross-country runners here at school. None of them lift. They just all they do is run, and they stretch while they're basically cold. So it's nice to see some long distance runners getting in some weights, and definitely let us know how your results go according to Jimmy's recommendations. Let us know how that helps out. Next question. I'm in college. Actually, this is kind of in regards to the roundtable that we're going to be talking about in a little bit. But I'm in college and trying to pursue a degree in exercise science. I was wondering, how do you deal with the really hard classes like pre-calculus, etc.? Well, Jimmy, I know you can probably talk about this a little bit. I never had to take pre-calculus. I think the hardest class I've had so far in my tenure at college have been anatomy and phys 1 and 2 in kinesiology. Those were the three ball busters. That was really all that I stressed out about.
Yeah. I mean, I actually got the same question from listener Chris Barrett. So if it's the same one,
probably.
How are you, Chris? Shout out to Chris. If it is Chris. pre-calc just sucks. Like, I'm not a math person. I didn't have to take it. In my undergrad studies, I definitely don't have taken my master's studies. So yeah, it's just something that sucks, and you know, it's something you have to get through. You know, like anything else, just put in the extra time, put in the extra effort, and you know, he'll benefit from it. I mean, you know, it's something you have to take, you know, to get your degree, and we don't like it. And I mean, God, I don't know how many. I was horrible in all my math classes, but you know, just put the extra effort in, because I mean, if it's a class like anatomy and physiology or classes like that that you know he's into, a lot of people put more effort into it. Just kind of put the same amount of effort into that and see what happens. But I want to go back to the endurance runner real quick, because again, he asked me about nutrition, and I just really talked about supplementation. I'd first suggest that, you know, his pre-meal, so again, we're talking about an hour and a half before he goes to run, is, again, a fibrous carbohydrate source, an oatmeal, a rice, a sweet potato, yams, whatever have you, source. And then his pre-workout meal, again, same thing, just a little less in the quantity because he needs to get those slow-digesting carbohydrates for his energy. If he wants to take a supplement like a Surge, that's kind of a quicker absorbing carb initially before he can, because it feels that'll give him initial energy for maybe his first half a mile. That's a method that sometimes endurance runners use. Generally, his whole nutrition plan the day before needs to be set towards what he's going to do the next day training-wise. Because basically going out there and just saying you're going to eat whatever and go run is really not going to matter. Like, people are so focused on protein. Protein, I think, only counts for like 5% of the total energy you use. So you have to keep that in mind. If he just goes like a high protein, healthy fat deal, you don't really want to do that. So I would just tell him, make sure he has some fibrous carbs in his diet. You know, he can even add some, you know, vegetables in to get more fiber if he really needs to delay, you know, the emptying.
Jimmy, going actually jumping back into the other question, is pre-calculus something you have to take as for exercise science majors?
I know. I was confused about that initially, too. I never had to take it. I mean, unless he has a minor that, you know, we don't know about or that he didn't mention. I mean, I never personally had to take it, so that's kind of confused me when I heard that question.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll just be able to pick out classes that you like, and for all your gen eds, just take some easy stuff. Don't overdo it. Don't be an overachiever. You know, it's college. All right. Actually, Jimmy, something I wanted to quickly ask you. I know you're a big fan of supplementing with branched-chain amino acids, and we've talked about leucine in the past. What's your take on the supplement that's been classified as HMB, which is derived from leucine?
Yeah, HMB is actually derived from leucine, and if you're familiar with HMB, it's the product that Bill Roberts, I believe, said, no relation to Anthony Roberts, by the way. Bill Roberts was the guy, EAS and Muscle Media, said, I think he compared it to Dianabol in terms of results. HMB has actually been shown in research to be a very productive supplement when it's taken in mass quantities. And again, it's expensive, and that's what it's really going to add up. If you take it as directed, you're really not going to get the benefits. And to be honest, I've never even used HMB. I'm vaguely familiar with it. I know it's supposed to, I believe, decrease the breakdown of your protein, if I'm correct about that. Either way, I know the HMB, it's not a supplement that I've taken. It's not one I recommend to people. I know it is kind of popular still. One of those, I don't know why, it's time and time again, it's been just proven wrong. But if people are taking it, I mean, the really only way they're going to get results is to kind of megadose it. I'm not suggesting to megadose it, but that's just what kind of the research has found. So.
Oh, it's very good. I just saw it pop up when I was doing some research on leucine the other day.
So, I mean, they're really not the same, because you find that the chemical structures like that are persistent in a couple different supplements, and you really can't compare leucine to HMB. Leucine is probably my favorite supplement in terms of just being anti-catabolic and helping with muscle growth. So,
very good. Well, that will wrap it up for our quick mailbag discussion. Again, if you have any questions for the mailbag, send them to questions@thefitcast.com. Make sure there's an S at the end of that questions. And just throw in the subject line, mailbag questions, and we'll answer as many as we can every single week. So before we do jump into our roundtable, let's quickly mention our sponsors. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Don't forget to check out the TTMembers.com site for your monthly workout. Also, BlackStarLabs.com, save 10% with the code FIT10, that's FIT10. When you throw that code in the comments, you'll save 10%. And Blackstar Labs, great stuff. I'm actually getting a nice fresh shipment from them next week. I'm looking forward to trying out their strawberry whey, because they actually discontinued their watermelon flavor, which I was a big fan of. So I'll let you know how the strawberry goes. And last but not least, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. There you can pick up products like Bulletproof Knees. You can get the Inside Out Manual. You can get, Building the Efficient Athlete. So many great products there. Check it out, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And I actually finally got my hands on a copy of Bulletproof Knees.
What would you think?
I just really opened it today. I actually went halfway through watching the DVD that's included. It's from the seminar that I went to in LA, and it was a great refresher. Really, the reason why I actually was so adamant about really just going through all the material again is I actually have a client right now at the school gym. A woman who is actually coming back from not one but two ACL surgeries on her left leg. They actually botched the first surgery.
Really?
And she had to get another one. But she's doing well. And thanks to help from Mike Robinson and also Keith, I've been bouncing back emails with him the last couple of weeks to help set up a program that's going to be helping her get back on the field as fast as possible. I think we put together a great plan. So, and also we'll be talking a little bit about that with Keith next week, because we did have a mailbag question for Keith, but we'll save that for next week. So, let's jump into the roundtable. All right, just to let you know, we actually started this discussion earlier in the show, and we ended up using it for the roundtable discussion, and we're going to save this week's roundtable discussion for next week. So for the roundtable discussion, we're actually going to be talking about how to prepare yourself before you get into the fitness industry, and also we talk a little bit about what I've been doing in college. So let's jump right back into the roundtable discussion right now. People have been asking what I've really been doing since it's my senior year in college, and I'm really getting to the end of that road before I jump into the real world. And,
yeah, it's a crazy road right there, buddy. I mean, it's only September, so you kind of have a year left to not be in the real world. But I remember when I was in that situation, it was weird.
Yeah, for some reason right now, I'm doing better in school than I ever have. I'm feeling the crunch, and I really want to end out in a high note. And right now, basically, in terms of classes, I don't think I talked about this, but behavior change is a class that I'm taking, which I really don't like. It's a lot of great information, and I know changes are going to have to be changed. Behaviors are going to have to be changed in the profession that I go into. But so far, it's pretty much just a lot of work, and we're having to do projects in the community, which is really eating up my time. So that's pretty much why I don't like it, but it's going all right so far. Next up, I'm taking program design, which they're teaching from the ACSM book. So definitely a different take on what I've been reading the last couple of years. More of the stuff that I've been going through is the NSCA books. I've really been focusing on that because I'm going to be taking the test for the CSCS. So I'm not, looking into the program design book that they put together for the ACSM, it's pretty decent. They have been updating it every 2 years, and it's pretty good. And my teacher's he's a power lifter. So
cool. That's random that they have a powerlifter teaching you. I think it's actually pretty cool. You know, that's someone with some under the bar experience. Kev, I mean.
All right, just back to talking about my program design class. Like I was saying, my teacher is actually a former powerlifter, and he actually scares the crap out of everyone in the class because sometimes he just does some just jumps up and down really fast and just hits the floor like he's doing a clean when he's trying to. I don't know if he's doing it to scare people, to wake people up, or to just demonstrate some things. We're actually talking about speed production. So that's really cool. And last but not least, I'm taking my practicum, which I mentioned early in the show. It's where we get clients. Right now, I'm taking on 4 clients, opposed to everyone else taking on 1. I don't know why I did that. I had some requests for clients, and I just pretty much didn't say no to anyone, which probably wasn't a good idea, which has me pretty much doing for the first 2 weeks. Right now I'm working really closely with a woman with the ACL injuries, and I'm pretty much trying to be with her every single day. We do weight training. So far, so good on that. And then the rest, the other 3 clients are all guys. 2 of them going for strength and size, and 1 going for fat loss. So I get a nice range of clients, and mostly for the guys, it's going to involve lots of program design, and hopefully they just need 3 or 4 sessions on just improving their form. For some of the guys, their deadlift form was just a joke, and it looked painful, and just need to get some work on that. And luckily, thanks to all the time that I spent with Eric at Excel this year, I've actually feel like I'm at the point where I can be able to teach people how to correctly deadlift, or how to squat correctly, or bench press correctly, and just things to look at in terms of ways that they can improve their form. But So Jimmy, do you want to jump in there? I know for the people, I know I probably didn't mention at the beginning of this, but we're talking all about just about the time before we get into the industry, pretty much. And I know, Jimmy, you had a different path than I did right now, because I knew from the get-go, from the moment that I my freshman year, I knew what I was going to do in terms of my major and what I wanted to do when I got out of college. But I know you took a different path.
Yeah, my path is actually completely different than a lot of people that get into the fitness industry, and I think there's an important lesson just in that everybody's path to any type of success is going to be different. I mean, you know, it's great, and Anthony Roberts, actually our guest next week, is big on saying this all the time. You know, find the people that are successful at what you want to do, and just learn everything about them and learn how they got successful. Then that's a really good advice. But my personal path was, I had known since high school. See, now I'm 24 now. I actually turned 25 next Monday. I don't know why I added that in, but in high school...
Well, you just want some happy birthday emails.
I guess so. In high school, I knew I wanted to be a performance coach. Like, I knew I wanted to be within the industry and work with athletes, but this is high school. You know, I was 14 at the time, 15 at the time. Went initially to college, got a basketball scholarship, went to college to be an athletic trainer, you know, an AT, and when I initially went to the pre-college, you know, screening or whatever it is to where they tell you about the major you're interested in, I couldn't commit those hours that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. AT
that's
work.
A really that's a really committed major. That's something I look into here. And first thing they said, well, you can't be with athletics. And that was at the point where I was still looking at playing basketball in college, and they're just saying, well, you can't do it.
Yeah, and they actually told us in that meeting, they said you can probably play athletics your freshman year, and then after that you can't. I mean, and I, you know, I was getting money to go to college, so I mean that was definitely out of the equation. So I went to college at I was 17 as a freshman in college, and I'm like, you know, what the hell am I going to do? So I knew the kind of field I wanted to get into, but at the same time, I didn't make up my mind my freshman year. And the sophomore year is everybody's pushing me to pick a major, and I said, well, I kind of want to do, you know, the performance thing, but I went and I got a get into business, but I still took a good amount of exercise science classes. My overall degree ended up actually being in business, which is something a lot of people don't know about me, my undergrad. But I had enough exercise science classes that I was able to, you know, get into a master's degree program without having to go through all these, you know, different prereqs and things like that. So I didn't think about getting into the industry, you know, because now keep in mind I'm doing my business thing, and I mean I didn't even think about what I was doing, like until like mid-year senior year, like some before that, like I worked at a restaurant. Like I didn't get everybody goes in like interns at a place they want to work where they graduate. I didn't do that. And I'm sitting there, and I had a roommate who was an athletic trainer, and he was a personal trainer at the Boston Sports Club. So I was like, you know, maybe I want to do that, because up until this point now, I had been taking a good amount of exercise science class just because that was my personal interest, because I was more interested in myself and developing myself. And I had taken like a weight training program design type class. Like I really enjoyed it, and like I passed the class effortlessly. Like it wasn't by any means a hard class, but you know, everybody else in it just took it, you know, as a not serious class. Me, I was serious about it because I enjoyed doing it. So I talked to him, and you know, the Boston Sports Club, New York Sports Club, they have a relationship with NASM, with NASM for certification. So I said, let me go and let me be interested in that. So I you know, paid the whatever it was, the $500. To get my NASM certification, to get the material for it. At that time, I got the day after I graduated. I graduated on like a Thursday. So I was at work on Monday. I worked actually at a stock corporation. I worked in international trade. I did this for about 2 weeks. My cousin worked there, got me a job. All while I had spent the time, you know, studying for my NASM certification. So about 2 weeks into it, I was like, this job isn't for me. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be working. I was working from like 7 to 7. I was like, there's no way I want to do this. I really, you know, have a passion for working out, for the fitness industry, the same way everybody starts. Again, now myself, my whole interest was myself. I have buddies that would work out with me when I was in college as being a college athlete in a Division III school. We didn't have a strength and conditioning program. So, like, I would work out myself. I'd have a lot of teammates that would work out with me and come to me for advice. So, I was kind of really deeply involved with it there. And then, you know, just went and I quit that job, the stock job I had, and I said, I just want to get into training seriously. Took me about a week to finish getting my certification and pass the test. At that time, I was really close to it. Got a job at a local YMCA, and that's how I started in the industry. That was my foot into the industry. At this time, I was 21 years old, and as soon as I quit, I was like, I'm going to make this, because even going into the fitness field, I knew that, you know, how much a pain in the ass a field can be. And I don't say that to deter anybody. I say that just to be real with people, is that you have to understand this industry, while it can be great and while you can love it, it can be extremely frustrating at times. And we can get a little deeper into that later, but that's just how I initially got into the field.
Well, no, one thing that I'm looking at right now is, like I mentioned, I'm really been busting my ass this last year at college to really show people what I got in terms of grades, and also at school, the other students kind of know what I do in terms of the FitCast. A lot of them don't respect it because a lot of them think that it's just some like bullshit radio show. But so far this year, I've really been actually having people come up to me and ask questions about things, asking me about program design. And I still give opinions. Some of them take them, some of them don't. I've actually got people to go out and buy some books, like getting things, just picking up Nutrient Timing, like $10 book on Amazon.com, just to help them and their clients. And again, it's like a passion. Like, I know if I ever call Jimmy and I have like a question, he will talk my ear off for 25 minutes about that topic because we love talking about it.
Like, yeah, I think that's the cool thing, and that's one of the main differences between you and I, Kev, is that like with you, like you're that guy there, like you're passionate about it. With me, when I was in in college, like, to be honest, I didn't even start reading T Nation until I was out of school, because I kept coming across an article that, I don't know, it was the same article, I guess, because I was really big into reading, like, the flexes and the muscular development.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I kept coming across, like, an article that was, like, using towels for, like, push-ups, and I was like, in a typical meathead fashion, like, there's no way you can build big pecs like that. So, you know, I kept rejecting that, and I was always on bodybuilding.com. I was always in their forums. I was always on a couple other miscellaneous forums. Bought Flex, Muscular Development every month. Some months bought Muscle and Fitness. But I didn't really have any of the books of it. You know, like, I was really into it, but, like, I would have loved to have someone like you. And I actually went to school with a kid who actually works for Mike Boyle now. But we weren't really that close enough to sit down and be like, oh, hey, let's talk about, you know, altering intensity. Like, it wasn't like that. And when you're freaking 21, you're not going to talk like that, you know?
Yeah, it's like, even I have that problem here, because the only person I can really talk to is my ex-roommate about it, and everyone else is just like, what the hell are you talking about? We haven't covered this in class. Like, why do I care?
Yeah.
I'm like, well...
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, even, like, we had to be in groups in the program design class I took, and I had two other teammates that were in the class, and they just took it for a BS class, and one of them was really into working out, too, so, you know, that was kind of cool, but I had no one to throw ideas off of. You know, you just have to, like, go on, like, the forums and, like, mm-hmm. you know, and get all that stuff that goes on there, but I wish I would have had someone like you, Kevin, in school that would have been like, here, read this book, you know, cause, like, books like New Rules of Lifting and Nutrient Time, and they're great books to start, especially when you're getting in the industry, and I never had that to be able to have that person to feed off of, and even now today in a work environment, I don't really have that either, you know, where, you know, other people are reading things. Now people come to me and they'll say, oh, I saw your article on T Nation, this and that, but go ahead, keep saying what you were saying there, Kev.
I don't know what I was saying.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I first wanted to get out to people was that you don't have to be so concerned. Like, I personally was very concerned. I was like, oh, man, it's going to be so hard for me to make it in the industry, you know, because I don't have a BS in exercise science, mm-hmm. this and that. And a lot of times, and as much as it sucks, when you're initially breaking the industry, people want to see BS or MS next to your name. Like, no one wants to listen to you. You have to break down a lot of mm-hmm. doors yourself. But yeah, like, I didn't have the books. I wasn't telling people, go read this, go read that, you know. Like, my roommates would read, like, my flexes if they were there. But other than that, you know, and this was even before, like, Flex even, like, covered, like, a lot of the science. And, you know, muscular development, I always had covered that. And, you know, that's initially, like, how I got into it, though.
Yeah, I consider myself extremely lucky just being able to, I mean, the show has really allowed me to be able to communicate with people who otherwise I wouldn't even either know, or they would. I would just be some other kid just asking random questions. But
yeah, I think that's the cool thing. You know, I really think that's the cool thing about you, and I'm actually kind of still envious about you, even now with that, Kev, is because you had that connection at 20 and 21 to be talking to the Alan Cosgroves,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be talking to all the John Berardis, you know, on a fairly frequent basis. You know, you talked to them on the show one time, but they knew who you were. I mean, you at 21 just had an article up on T Nation, you know, and things like that. Like, I think that's the huge part about it, is that you were able to go and to put yourself into the field. And the thing is, in what people will learn when they get into it, like, you have to attend seminars, because that's the only way, A, you meet people, but B, the only time you meet like-minded people. Like,
you gotta meet people. Like, yeah. I know you've mentioned it on the show before, but this is really an industry. This isn't really the right analogy. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. But it really is to get, like, the big positions. You got to go to the seminars, and you got to meet the people, and you got to know people, or you're just going to be stuck at Gold's Gym.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, like, it's funny, because before, like, I started having articles about T Nation, I'd email people, and I would say, oh, you know, my name is Jimmy Smith. You know, here's, like, here's what I think about this topic. And some people would reply back with, you know, really interesting replies, like like Alan and Mike Boyle. Like, I'd send those guys stuff, and they'd reply back. Like, they would take time to reply, like, thoughtfully, and, you know, what they thought and what they didn't think, or ask questions back. A lot of people would just email me back with a one-line sentence and were really rude. And at the same time, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. People were just rude.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I went and I got articles on T Nation, I got my name known, people all of a sudden started emailing me, a lot of those same people being like, oh, I love, you know, I like your stuff, this and that. So it's funny how it works. And the thing is, like Kevin said, it's all about who you know, and you're going to find that way in a lot of aspects of any industry. And the whole point Kevin was trying to get across is that is just to go and attend seminars and meet people, because that's how you interact. But at the same time, when you're young in this field, you have to quickly try and – I would tell everybody to do it the way I did it. I mean, and usually a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't do it the way I did it. But I wouldn't trade the way I did it. Because I think it made me a little hungrier, you know, for knowledge, because I felt I was at such a disadvantage because I didn't have a BS, you know. So I went. I said, "Bam!" I got my NASM. I went and got an ISSA like nutrition certification, something like that. But all while when I was working at that YMCA, sitting at that desk, I was reading still at this point, still flexing muscular development. But then I started taking books out of the library. You know, the first really, really scientific book I bought was Charles Poliquin's Winning the Arm Race. You know, again, meathead, right? Big arms. but that really went into the whole it went to a lot of Charles's methods. It went into a lot of the physiology behind it. And then that really hooked me. Then I started buying a lot of books about the Poliquin principles. I bought Allen's one book from Allen. I don't know which one it was. But, it's, you know, this is four years ago now. And I went and I think it made me hungry. And the whole thing is when you get into this industry, and the advantage Kevin has now that I didn't have is not only does he know people, but he knows more what the industry is about. Like, he knows that there's online marketing. He knows that there's the ability to write. He knows all this stuff. Where if I was in Kevin's position, you know, I would tell everybody, if you're in school and if you're, like, you really love this industry and have a passion for it, like, and Eric Cressy's the guy he'll always say it, is Eric says he didn't spend, like, a dime on alcohol in college, you know, which is unheard of. Eric went and he worked in he interned. He worked at places. You know, I think Chad Waterbury did the same thing. I think I remember in one of his books. So I would tell everybody to take that route. If you really love this industry and have a passion and want to be in it, like, get a job working at, like, a local gym, even if it's at the front desk, you know, and intern, especially if you're at, like, big schools, even for grad school or undergrad, like, intern, like, work with, like, the teams. And you don't have to go to, like, a big school, even if you're at a smaller Division I school or a smaller Division II school, and you intern, you'll still get experience and exposure. Like, I would tell everybody to really overconsume themselves with this industry, because, like, that's the only way I knew how to get to where I am now. And I'm not trying to say I'm anything now, you know, because I don't think I am. But, the whole point is I wouldn't tell anybody not to do it the way I did it, because what I did is I worked three jobs. I worked at two YMCAs and I worked at one New York sports club. And I was working all the time. My first client was 6 a.m. and I was working till 10 o'clock. I was working out, and then I would go work at the gym, or I'd go work at a private facility. I was out till, like, 7 o'clock. And no one wants to be doing that when they're 30 years old in the field. But, you know, I'm 21 at the time, you know, and I think the problem with this industry and the reason why someone like me at 24 will get a bad name is because people just think I'm some kid that's just doing this for shits and giggles. Like, and it's really not that. Like, people don't understand. Like, the same people that want to get on me on message boards.
And I don't think people understand how much of a nerd Jimmy is.
Well, people really don't understand that. And, like, a lot of times you can take me, and I'm not going to mention names, I'm not going to say names or anything like that, but you can take me and you can compare me to somebody else my age or a year or two younger, who's writing or who's out there or whatever, and people will lump us into the same groups. And it happened after the boot camp last year. Ryan Lee's boot camp is on a popular message board. The administrator went and gave everybody the title of expert, and people didn't know who's who. Mm-hmm. And if I was on the other side of that, if I'm someone with my computer, I'm sitting there and probably saying, this guy's a friggin' idiot too. He doesn't know anything. You get out, like, really what you put into it. And my whole point of my little rant is that, like, I went and, yeah, like, I started reading about how, oh, you can make money online, you can make money selling products. But you know what? That doesn't mean shit unless you really know what you're doing. Like, Alan Cosgrove always says, if you have chocolate cake and you tell everybody how great it is and everybody tries it and it sucks, no one's going to buy your chocolate cake again. That's the whole thing. And, you know, people always say, I think this is Greg Cook, I'm going to attribute this quote to, is that there's no, like, I don't know what star he's talking about. There's no, like, Freddie Adu's in the industry. There's no one who's young who's going to, like, take over the industry. Like, I have the good fortune of knowing Eric Cressy very well. And Eric Cressy, while his path was different than mine, still busted his ass all throughout college to get the NAS the same way, like, that I did it as soon as I got out of college. Like, if I have to be up for a 6 a.m. client, there's no way in the world I should be up at 1 a.m. reading kinesiology textbooks. But you know what? I'm on that, and I do that. And I still even do this sometime. Like, if you talk, I have a good friend, Mike Ohanek. He's the strength coach at Johns Hopkins University. And he'll email me, and he'll say one line just being like, have you relaxed yet? And it's a running joke between him and me. But you know what? Like, that's the honest God truth. And I would tell anybody that's serious about getting in this industry and making a name for themselves to do that is to really overcommit yourself to it. Like, it doesn't matter if you're want to train pro athletes and you're training grandmas all day. You know what? If you're 21, 22, you're getting friggin' experience. You know, like, there's so much push in this industry for people to make more by doing less, and that's great, and we all want to do it. But you know, you should, Kev, you should seriously put up the link to Alan Cosgrove and Jason Ferrugia's article, The Business, that was on Elite FTS, because that's one of the best articles you can read if you want to get into this industry, because those are two guys who are successful and are known, and you know what, and they busted their ass year after year trying to get there, and that's the whole point I want to get across to people in this industry. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, I'll tell you right now, like, you're a step ahead of me, because I only started listening to the FitCast I think about a year and a half ago, and I used to email Kevin, be like, can I write articles for the FitCast? And Kevin never responded to me. And
what?
Isn't that funny how it turned around? I can send you the email. I'll actually forward Kevin the email. I'll try to find it, and he can put it up on the FitCast.
Hey, well, you're just some dumb kid, right?
Yeah, well, exactly, and that's the whole point. And that right there, like, Kevin not emailing me back, that was motivation for me.
Well, it was weird, because at that point, like, I actually have had people in the past still be emailing me, asking to write for the site. And for people in the past, like, I have just replied saying, yeah, just send me what you have, and if I think it's pretty good, then I'll throw it up on the site. And obviously, I mean, the second that I actually conversed with Jimmy, I was just obviously not trying to suck up to him, but I was just blown away by just listening to him. And I know just right after I had you on the show the first time, we started conversing over the phone, and we'd have these 30-minute conversations just talking about anything, talking about hormones, talking about protein synthesis, just talking about anything.
Yeah, well, our conversations actually suck, because, like, I'll call you for a question, or you'll call me, and we'll go into these little rants. But, like, I would tell everybody, like, to get into the field, like, get your hands friggin' dirty. Like, get in there, and, you know, I worked, you know, I don't know, 6 hours at three places, you know, 18 hours a week, whatever. You know, I didn't care about that. I was living at home. I'm still friggin' living at home. But I didn't care. I was all about spending money on the industry to get myself better. And I wasn't making a lot of money. I think the first year I worked, I made something like $20,000. Like, I didn't give a damn. Like, sure, I could have made a lot more working the place I worked. You know, I had a salary, whatever. And you have to understand the economics of this field. Like, you get paid when you work. You get paid for the clients you train. So you have to become good. Like, I would go, I would work, I'd work out, I'd come home, I'd be reading a book. You know, like, you don't have time to get online, and I think that's how it should be. Like, I didn't have time to make a website until last September. But I would say it'll be a year old, actually, in, like, November, I think, is when I launched it. So I still have some time. But, like, I didn't have time to get online and to focus on, like, all the online marketing and to focus on, you know, writing articles. Like, if you're going to start one place, start by writing the article, start by getting exposure, but don't expect to be paid. Like, you know, again, look at my situation. The other day, I still emailed these random fitness magazines trying to write for them. No, I'm not going to get paid, but you know what? I wanted to write. I wanted to get my stuff out there. I still do that now. That's just my advice to everybody who wants to find ins in the industry is go to seminars, but bust your ass. Like, don't try to find the easy way out. Like, and granted, I'm not taking anything away from the people that, you know, teach us how to, you know, work smarter and not harder, because you know what? At 24, after doing this for 3 years, like, shit, I hate getting up at 5:30 in the morning now still. I hate getting up 6 o'clock. I don't hate being in the industry. I love being in the industry. I love training people. I love helping people every day, you know, face to face. I wouldn't, you know, I think that's really great, and I love what I do. But you know what? Shit, I hate getting up 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell you that. If I can get up 8 o'clock, I'd be such a happier person. You know, so, like, I don't want to knock the people that are working harder, are working smarter, not harder, because you can't keep beating your head against the wall and expect to get anywhere, especially in this industry. But, you know, people have to go through steps. Like, you just can't jump in the ring and box with Ali. You know, you have to work your way up. And I think that's the thing a lot of people don't understand is I've had the great fortune, and a lot of people will in this industry, of working with very successful people in other fields. I have one of my clients who's is the head of the biggest advertising agency, I think, in the world now. It's been Europe for a couple of years, and he'll say all the time, people want to know how I got where I got. He was like, I worked every day. I worked New Year's Eve. I worked Christmas Eve all throughout my 20s, and then I started making money in my 30s. I started going step by step. And that's the thing. Like, I have a tendency, as corny as it sounds, to read about successful people. So I'll read about anybody, you know, P. Diddy, Oprah, Jay-Z, anybody who's been successful in any field.
And you watch Oprah too, right?
Dude, that's the greatest show in the world. I'm kidding about that. I don't watch that. But everybody always has the same methods, is that, you know, it's step-by-step process. So the thing I would tell people is don't lose sight of your end goal. Like, say that's where you want to get, but, you know, it's one step in front of the other. Like, you want to build a website? Okay, buy the domain name. Okay, now think about the content you want. Now get the testimonials. And the same thing, if you want to make it in the training industry, get jobs training, train people, read new rules of lifting, read nutrient timing, read clinical kinesiology, read, you know,
Allen's program design Bible, get functional training by Boyle, go back as far as get core performance by Verstegen, which is like $8. It's still some good information.
It's a step-by-step. And, you know, I still learn things. There's a lot of time, you know, and I would tell people also have confidence, like know what you know. And this is something that Scott Abel always says to me. He's like, know what you know when you, you know, don't go online and don't second guess yourself. Cause you know, when you're online, you can't tell who's who. There's a lot of crap out there. So I would just tell people, you know, and if people want to email me, I answer every single email I get, even if it's the worst email in the world. Like, I've had some stupid questions, I mean, no offense, emailed to me, and I still email people back, and I mean, I'll never have the attitude of giving people, like, a one-sentence response back. So if people have any questions about this, I know we've really ranted too much, or I've ranted too much about it, so they can just shoot me out an email.
Absolutely, and again, it's all about the passion. Like I mentioned before, this is really the first time where I've been able to take on a couple clients at once, and being able to fit in 12 hours of training people during the week, plus I have 10 hours that I have to spend that we have to spend at the desk in the weight room, plus having 14 hours worth of classes, plus another 10 to 14 hours worth of homework. It really adds up, plus a side job. It's weird because right now I don't mind. Like I come home every day from the gym with like a smile on my face because I'm still at that point where I'm excited every single time to go in and train because I'm already seeing progress with my clients. It's great.
Sure, I mean that's the important thing, and passion is something else I kind of wanted to touch on too. Like you have to have a passion for this industry because it can suck the life out of you. Like.
You go like with the online route and you start dealing with the online crowd, you've got to really.
Well, if you deal with the online crowd, or like a lot of times, like you go online and you'll read articles, and you know there are people's opinions, there are people's experiences. Sometimes you'll second guess yourself, and that'll draw the passion out of you. But just the industry as a whole, just being there. And look, there's clients I train sometimes that I hate training because they're negative and they suck the life out of me. And there's times that, you know, you'll be working with people, you'll be working at three separate jobs, driving back and forth all the time, and it'll kill your passion. But you know what? If you're still coming home and you're still picking up a book, you're going to make it in the industry. Because, like, I'll even say, like, now I still pick up books when I'm laying in my bed and, like, all right, I'm just going to lay and watch, just want CSI or whatever. I can't do that. I have to pick up a book I have to read because people like to say that be good at what you do and the money will come. Yeah, you have to be smarter with your business too, but that's really true, and it is about the passion. Like, there's a lot of times that I hate this industry totally and I want to get away from it. But then I'll go and like I'll read, you know, a stupid article or I'll read something. You know, so for me it's like my own training is a little more physique based, so it'll be analyze like my physique or something like that always keeps me in the industry. So passion is what separates people, and that's the thing, and that's how you can tell who's who, because you'll go and you'll hear a lot of people that'll talk about what they want to learn with the, you know, with the latest online stuff at, you know, 22 years old when they haven't trained anybody or whatever. But if you're sitting there and you keep, you know, it's about continually putting step after step. So it's really about the passion, though. That's I agree with you on that, Kev.
Absolutely. And one thing, this is kind of off topic, but Jimmy, I wanted to mention it before we wrapped up the show. I read this week that you used a leg press. Could you please explain yourself?
Oh, yeah. So you obviously read my blog, jimmysmithtraining.blog.
Every day.
Every day, nice, because I'm going to try to update it even more than I do. I know I update it like three times a week. I'm trying to go all day. I did use a leg press, and I kind of want to defend that a little bit. If you're an athlete, if you're someone with an injured back, if you're somebody who you know, is just training for overall performance or health, then you don't need to use a leg press. I think the leg press sucks as a machine. To be honest with you, it's bad on your back. There's 1,000 great alternatives, but alternatives is the key word. I used it because I'm trying to bring up my leg. A lot of people don't know. I'll be coming out with a book, an e-manual, something like that. I haven't decided what it's going to be around March, April next year. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm actually going to put on a lot of size. I'm actually stripped down because I'm going to model in my own book for a lot of things. So I need to put muscle everywhere. And being 6'6", the more I train my legs, the more size I put in there, the more my overall body mass is going to grow just because I'm basically all legs. So I need alternate methods to train. So I went and got a leg press. Single leg presses. Like, I think we get so caught up, especially in this online community, of saying it's all or nothing. Like, you get the sports performance coaches saying, don't use a leg press. And then you get the bodybuilder, strictly bodybuilder, saying use a leg press and, you know, only lock out with your knees and things like that. You have to look at it and you have to individualize your training for yourself. Like, go and read all these, you know, read my articles, read Allen's, read Chad's, read Eric, read Robertson's, Keith's, Tony's, Jen's. Read those articles, but you have to keep in mind it's going to be your training and try not to get paralysis by analysis. Like, I stay off the leg, I went with a lot of the popular training recommendations out there, and my body hasn't grown from them. You know, like, you have to really be aware of what you're listening to. So I use the leg press, and I've used the leg extension, and I use the leg curl. I'm training just to overall look good. Do I exclude stiff leg deadlifts, exclude ham raises, single leg squats, single leg barbell lunges, front squats, back squats? Do I exclude that? No, they're all still in my program. I'll never tell someone use the leg press over a squat. Not at all. It'll never happen. But as an add-on, as an adjunct, I think it can be very valuable, especially when your primary goal is just training for aesthetics. I'm not training to perform. You know, I have to perform. I play in a corporate basketball league, and I play football on Thanksgiving Day. Those are the only times of the year that I have to perform athletically. Okay, so I really think I can get by with doing the leg press on that, you know. So I did use the leg press, and, I mean, that's just my advice to people is read stuff and decide what's best you want to do. If you need overall size, am I going to put you in the leg press? No. You know, I'm going to make you squat till the cows come home and deadlift till the cows come home, but I'm still deadlifting. I'm still doing all that. It just is definitely just an add-on, so I hope I defended it enough there.
I know. I think you did a great job, and also you can just jump to his blog at jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. That's two times I plugged it in the show this week, so send nice. Me my check in the mail. PayPal. You can do PayPal. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for the show this week. Again, don't forget, Anthony Roberts will be coming on the show next week. We should have most of the crew back. I don't think we'll probably be without Jen because Anthony's going to be phoning in, but hopefully Tony and Keith, Jimmy and I will be here with Anthony Roberts. And send in all the questions that you have for Anthony to questions@thefitcast.com. Also send in your mailbag questions as well. We'll take on as many questions that we can, so please send them in. And I think that's it for me, Jimmy. How about you?
I talked myself all out, man. Like, it freaking, like, my shoulder's spazzing up all the damn talking I'm doing. I mean, I need to go eat.
Sounds good. So for episode number 66, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith. I'm sorry, I was reading something.
And Jimmy put it well. Go read something. See y'all next week.
Take care.